This is Dr. Ivy. Welcome to the Dr. Ivy Show. I am a clinician with 20 years of experience. I help people work through many types of relationship and adjustment-related issues. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. If you have a question or comment, please feel free to call me at 888-454-3378. Happy to help in any way I can. You're listening to the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. I am really sorry for the late start today, but I suggest we get right into it. I've got a very important topic that I wanted to revisit today, and that is the topic of relationships. Boy, I don't know if there's anything more important than the relationships in our lives. And if you think about it, relationships encompass every type of interaction with another person. Is it an intimate relationship with your partner? Is it a relationship with your child? Is it a relationship at work? Or even a relationship with your neighbor? They're all relationships. Most important, as you may know, in my opinion, is the relationship you have with your parents. My goodness, this is of paramount importance, and these relationships are what help shape us. Unfortunately, too many people, as they grow and mature and become adult, they lose focus on how important and key our relationships with our parents are. They may erroneously conclude that the relationship you have with your parent is merely meant as a springboard of sort, is merely meant as the relationship to teach you the basics of what you need to know, give you the structure and the direction to be able to get you up and running, off on your own, and then sayonara. Thanks for the help. See ya. Nothing could be further from the truth. We need our parents, and we need our parents more than you may know. We need our parents throughout the entire life cycle. And I would suggest, though, in a very different way, you need your parents just as much as an adult as you did when you were a kid. But it's nothing more sad for me to see when a successful young adult views their parent to be bordering on incompetent. When a person has had some of the privileges that we have had, that some of our parents have not had, educational opportunities, employment opportunities, career prospects, and the person then gets to the point where they're dismissive of what their parent has to say because they feel themselves to have surpassed their parent. I'm telling you, if that is any part of how you operate, you're missing something very, very important. And with respect to relationships in general, any type of relationships, I strongly contend that relationships don't fail on their own. You contribute greatly to your relationship's success or lack thereof. Boy, there's nothing I hate more than when I hear people say that they've just grown apart. Let's be honest, if a relationship dies, it is because someone has stopped honoring it and investing in it. That's just it. You have to invest in the various relationships of your life. Because the moment you stop investing in them, I'm telling you, they will die. And that can look like a lot of different things. Just because a relationship dies doesn't mean that there's an immediate divorce, say in a marital situation. I know all too many people who are married for 20, 30, 40 years and quite frankly just don't like one another. In fact, they don't play nice. They're mean and bitter and disrespectful and difficult with one another. And how many of you, be honest, how many of you have been a little bit put off by having been put in your place by your spouse, only to hear the phone ring and have that person pick up the phone and as sweet as pie on the other end, whoever it is that may be calling them, cementing in your mind the notion that how come this stranger or this friend, this person who's far less invested in the relationship than I have with my spouse, gets a lot better product, a lot better treatment than I get from them. I think more people than not can relate to that. And therein lies the problem. You must regularly invest in your relationship, even when it stops being fun. in order to get the best result. And I'm telling you, that goes across the board. It goes across every relationship. Parental relationship, marital relationship, even relationship with your children. Most simply put, if you think about it, a relationship is much like a plant. You stop watering a plant, the plant will die. You stop investing in the relationship will die. More than the basic needs being met, watering the plant. If you don't take the plant out of the water when it get, or get out of the windowsill when it gets way too hot or too cold outside, the plant will become damaged. Again, it's a perfect analogy for a relationship. You need to cultivate and honor and respect and cherish and protect that relationship with all that you have. And I'm telling you, you will get tremendously good returns from that investment. It is absolutely not a one-way street. You know another problem that I see people having in relationships? Is that they're waiting for the other person to start doing right before they're willing to contribute and invest of themselves. Instead of waiting for your partner to show up, why don't you take the lead? Instead of picking that person apart and saying, well, I'm not going to try if they don't try, why don't you say, hey, listen, we both benefit from my effort. And it doesn't matter who starts or who's nice first. You got to stop keeping score. You hear me talking a lot about that in so many different ways, and it's just so true. Take the lead. Do the right thing. Nurture, respect, cultivate, enhance, promote a healthy relationship with your various loved ones. And I'm telling you, it's not a one-way street. It is infectious. Your good effort, maybe not the first time or the second time, but your good effort will pay tremendous dividends down the road. You may not realize how much your partner is starving. You may not realize how much your parent needs you to show them patience and compassion and concern and respect. Let them know that you still see them as valuable human beings who have something to offer you, even if what they're telling you they've told you before, even if they're a little forgetful or repetitive at times. That is no excuse not to honor and respect your loved one. Relationships don't fail on their own. You contribute greatly to the success or lack thereof your relationships. I have a lot more to say about this. I look forward to your calls. Feel free to call 888-454-3378 if you have a comment or question or story that you wish to tell about this topic. I look forward to your calls. And I'll have some tips for you to help enhance your relationships moving forward. Please stay tuned. I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars. Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We're talking today about the importance of relationships and how you need to cultivate healthier relations, be respectful, be more invested, show up. Take them seriously. Don't neglect them. We have Mary Ellen on the line. Mary Ellen, thank you for calling. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I wanted to find out, one of my biggest problems is, you know, I took care of my mother for 10 years until she passed away, and now my husband's mother is decaying, and, you know, so we're overshadowing her and everything, but my biggest problem is, you know, getting help, you know, from the services, aging and adult services. You know, they have these services out there, and you know, the minute you make a dollar over, they don't want to help you.
You know, that is so
And
true. And you know, go
and
ahead.
I just wanted to find out if there's other organizations out there that, you know, are more compassionate than but what's in the woman's bank account.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, that is an ongoing problem, and I know many, many people, my family included, who have been affected in just that very way. You know, I'll tell you, it's unsettling at first when you are faced with this predicament where clearly you have a legitimate need, and there are agencies who are in place just for that purpose. It would seem to be just the perfect fit, and it can't be more frustrating when what seems to be a perfect fit for all sorts of reasons just doesn't quite pan out, and especially when, as you say, if you made a dollar too much or whatever their strange, obscure criteria are, leave you kind of out in the cold. You can't help but be affected by that, but my strong advice to you is if you let that get the best of you, then you have less in the way of resources to utilize to help your loved one, which is ultimately what your primary objective is. And so, though I think you're right to exhaust those resources and challenge them and take it to the next level and see who you can talk to try to, you know, get something in the way of compassion from them to help you, I found
right.
more specifically that you get a better result from a more, how shall I say, a closer relation, a more intimate setting. Like, for example, if you have a church or clergy member in the area that you can talk to, often you'll be more successful with them because they're more connected to the community. They may have people within the congregation who are more willing to kind of volunteer and invest of the time that they have or the resources they have to help in any way that you can. So don't overlook the more conventional, obvious resources that you may, you know, have available to you. The other thing is family, and I know most people don't think about, you know, beyond the immediate family.
Our family is so scattered across the states, you know. And I said, the burden has become ours, you know. And
that's
the most difficult part because. You know, I suffer from rheumatoid arthritis, so I have my seasons that are my downtime, you know?
Sure.
And I just, you know, just trying to get someone to go in and help her, you know, with her personal needs, but my husband can't do that. She don't want him
right.
to do that.
Right.
And I said, it really gets a little bit crazy sometimes.
You know, people aren't going to volunteer to help. I mean, that's where I think you have a solid gold point. I mean, you're doing more than most, and you're all in, but you've got some significant, you know, physiological constraints that are nobody's fault. But like you say, at certain seasons, you're not able to do just what you want to do. Let me ask you this. I mean, with the people that aren't so close but that do seem to care somewhat, would it be possible for you to say, hey, listen, don't take this the wrong way, but I'm spread too thin here. I know you're not geographically situated in a place whereby you can help as much as you might otherwise. Would you be able to contribute financially to us hiring somebody? Because you may be pleasantly surprised. You may find that people who can't physically be there feel bad about that, and they're not thinking
mm-hmm.
The next step. But if you could pick up, you know, kind of a little financial support from the people who are good people who'd like to help and they see the value in helping, and then you can hire even a person to come in 4 hours a day, a professional, to do some of those grooming things, or even just, you know, transport to doctor's appointments and things of that sort. That can help tremendously, and it doesn't have to be a tremendously expensive proposition. But thinking
right,
outside
right,
of the box
right.
sometimes and enlisting their support in whatever way they're available. So you're right. It's maybe not all, but it doesn't have to be nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome. I thank you for the call. Best wishes to you. And I'll tell you what, I have a lot of respect for the people who show up for the family, as you clearly have. And I'm sorry that it
well,
continues
you
to
know,
be difficult.
Well, you know, I'm finding the generations are changing because that's what I was brought up under. You know, when I said as a kid, yeah. we were living next door to our aunt and uncle. You know, I said out my back door were the relatives, their children. So I said growing up at such an early age, we took care of family. my uncle was passing away next door. I remember all that, you know, and I said my mom was making meals for the neighbors and the relatives all the time. So I said it's almost like I was bred into that lifestyle, you know. So I said,
I know
right
exactly
away,
what
anybody
you mean.
that has gotten sick in the family, it's always been, oh, Mary Ellen will jump in. And sure enough, you know, I said I had my mom here for 10 years. And at the same time, my husband and I, we live in an area right now where all our neighbors are in their 80s. We're the youngest couple
right.
here because everybody left.
And you're
so
exactly
I said,
right,
you know, my
unfortunately.
Husband and I are always looking out for the older people next door. You know, I'll get a call 3 in the morning. Mary Ellen, my mom's not answering the phone. Can you go knock on the door, you know?
But I would guess
and
that
I
you
said,
do it
so,
because it's the right thing. You do it because it helps
it is.
You feel.
It's the moral thing to do because
absolutely.
You just don't let people go alone, you know?
But unfortunately, it's a dying breed, right? Because I think, unfortunately, these values aren't being promoted in younger generations. And I don't want to paint with a broad brush stroke. I know that there are exceptions to all, but it's not as commonplace as it was when perhaps you and I were raised. And I think a lot has been lost. That's the nature of this show. The whole reason that I do this, and it's a completely pro bono offering, is because I, like you, feel strongly about the importance of doing right by this older generation. And so I think you seem smart enough to understand that you're doing what you do doesn't necessarily mean that it'll
yeah,
be done for you.
Yeah, and it's just
right?
that
you're
sometimes
not
I get really frustrated that I hit
but,
walls, you know, the walls
but you
that
have
I'm
to remind
hitting.
Yourself, right, but again, you have to remind yourself that it's not a competition, right? It's not if you do good things for other people, they're going to do good things for you. It just doesn't work that way. You have to do it for the right reason, which I'm sure you do, and the right reason is because it's the right thing to do, because it helps you be more fully yourself, not because there's going to be some payoff or payback, because the reality is, unfortunately, that's often not the case. But the last thing that I wanted to suggest to you, and I know that sometimes this is considered a bad word, but if, in fact, your resources are exhausted and the needs of your mother-in-law are greater than your physical ability to contribute, you might seriously consider a nursing home. There are
oh,
good ones and there are bad
either.
Ones. I'll tell you.
We've
just,
already
just
had a bad
said.
Experience.
Right. And like people, right, there are good ones and there are bad ones. But if you do your homework and you find the right place, I'm telling you, they can be life-enhancing. They can promote
mm-hmm.
well-being and intervene at a level of medical proficiency that the most loving family member couldn't, because you just don't have that training. So please don't just jump to doing that, which clearly you won't. But don't err to the opposite
mm-hmm.
extreme and set roadblocks in place of not even considering that because of one bad experience. You might
right.
just keep that as an option. And if you do, you've learned a lot, I'm sure, from the bad experience you had before. I don't think that you would make the same mistake again. But don't rule that out completely.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for the call, and best of luck to you.
You're
listening
you
to the Dr. Ivan Show. We're talking about showing up for your parents and more specifically doing right in the various important relationships of your life, doing so because it's the right thing to do, not doing so because you think there's going to be some payback in the end. What matters most is that you are your authentic self and that you are the compassionate person that you were placed here to be, and that you're able to show up for the people that matter most to you at their greatest time of need. Please stay tuned. We're going to talk about how to do just that. I have some specific tips for you. When we return, you're listening to the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is Dr. Ivan Wilson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I'm here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We're talking today about relationships and how essential they are in our lives and how you have to really cultivate and support and nurture them in order to get the best result. And the relationships of our lives are all-encompassing. They're the relationships with our parents, with our spouse, with our children, with our coworkers. They're all around us. For in fact, we're social beings. No person was meant to be an island. And if any of your relationships don't work, if they fail on any level, instead of playing the blame game and pointing the finger of blame at the other person, you absolutely have to take a look at your own efforts, contributions, failures. Because relationships don't fail on their own. You contribute greatly to your relationship's success or lack thereof. I've been saying all show that I have some tips for you to be more present in your relationships, whichever relationships they may be, whoever they may be with. These all apply. I've got 6 tips for you. First of all, the most common, the most basic, but perhaps essential is listen fully to your partner as they speak. Look at them. Turn off the TV. Put your phone down. And don't cut them off by saying, I know, or yeah, 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 or hijack the conversation by talking about yourself. I'm telling you, these are all too common bad habits. Second, don't take this too personally, but I'll just say it plainly. Don't be selfish. So many people somehow find their way to a selfish place in their various relationships with others. So many people probably never intended to be just that selfish, but it's an all too common occurrence. You have to wake up and be cognizant of the way you are and the way you're treating your loved ones so that you can be your best self and get your best result. 3, treat your partner as a partner, not an opponent. Remind yourself often, in this relationship, we are on the same team. We're on the same side. When you find yourself at war or in conflict with a loved one, doesn't matter who wins or loses the conversation or the point of the argument, you both lose for being in conflict with one another. 4, understand that what you get out of a relationship is in direct proportion to what you invest into it. You can't expect the world if you're contributing a half effort. And I think that falls in line with this practice of entitlement that I think so many people have fallen into, where you want more, you feel you deserve more than you've earned or invested. Be careful of that. 5, you must stop scorekeeping. And by that I mean, well, I did this for you and so I deserve, or you owe me, or it's not fair. Those are childlike conversations and positions to maintain. It's not about keeping score and making sure that everything's completely equal. It's about just doing your personal best and hoping that that registers with the person and letting them make their own determinations as to what they do or don't do. There's an old notion of the 50-50 marriage, which is something that I think still exists out there. People think, erroneously so, that you can have something be perfectly equal. I don't believe it's possible. Rather, I strongly promote the 70-70 marriage, and I know that doesn't equal 100%. But by that I mean everybody, by nature of being uniquely aware of what you're doing, it feels like you're doing more than your partner because you don't know all the particulars of what they're doing. So unless you feel like you're contributing more, you're probably not contributing your half. And 6, don't say everything you think to your partner. We're emotional beings and we feel all sorts of things, and oftentimes we exaggerate kind of our own positions or get ourselves all worked up about things that really don't even warrant that response. One of the best pieces of marital advice, and I think this equally applies to your relationship with your parents, is to think about what you're going to say before you say it. Sleep on it for a night. More likely than not, the next day you'll think better about having said what you were going to say and save yourself and your partner a ton of grief in so doing. We have Jacob on the line. Jacob, thank you for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
I've been going through my mom's, I guess you could say, diary.
Okay.
She's passed away now, but I did go through some things as she was aging over the last few years. And she went to different places, and they were very abusive. And I couldn't show up because I drove a truck. But when I did, I got there, and it was like, I mean, I'm over here with the director on one side of the table, and I'm on this side of the table, and we're about to draw blood on each other.
Yeah, that does not sound like a good situation. I mean, right there.
And I took her out of those places, and I got her home.
Okay.
I got her home, and when I finally got to a job where I could actually get some home time driving a truck and still make some money, so
right.
And that was the best thing that ever happened to her.
Wow.
She was so happy to get out of that situation. And then I hurt myself. And so I was actually stuck at home. And that made it even better for her. It was bad for me. But,
no, I hear you.
I mean, she felt loved.
Right. We only have a minute left, and I'm sorry. I certainly don't want to call you short because what you're talking about is so important. I hope you'll be able to call back, but I just wanted to briefly state that you're exactly right, that the key here is that you keep an open mind and you keep your eyes open and you pay attention to what's going on because, as I've said many times before, not every place is good. There are some wonderful places. I wouldn't want you to say that this experience is uniform across the board, but sometimes you have bad experiences. So I'm so glad that you were able to be there for her as you were. You should be very proud of that, and people can learn a lot from your story. I thank you so much for calling, sir. Please stay tuned, or actually, we're at the end of the show. I thank you so much for listening. I'll be back January 18th at 11 a.m. Please take care of yourself and your loved ones, and I look forward to speaking with you then. This has been Dr. Ivan of the Dr. Ivan Wolfson Show.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.